Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over to John 10:10. John 10:10. Anybody know that verse? Ever read that verse before? I'm reading from the New King James. I didn't give you the scriptures, so I'll just tell them to you as we go along here. John 10:10, New King James Version. It says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." It's a good scripture, isn't it? And this word abundant, you look this word up, it means abundant, but it means a lot more. It means superabundance. Everybody say superabundance. Excessive. Overflowing surplus. I mean, I actually like that word surplus. I just like surplus. Over and above. More than enough. Above the ordinary. Or extraordinary. And I like that word too, extraordinary. Go ahead and say that. Extraordinary. Well, what does the word extraordinary mean? Well, above the ordinary. Ordinary means normal. How many here like normal? Well, sometimes normal's good. I mean, it's better than, abnormal, I guess, or below normal. But superabundance, this word abundant, means extraordinary, above the ordinary. And we don't even realize it in our lives because we're believers. And the lives that we live and what God does for us, our normal, our ordinary, is extraordinary to the world. Does that make sense? Just us living our normal lives as believers, as faith people, living according to the Word, following the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, we're used to it, so it doesn't seem exciting or maybe very special. But even when we live as believers normal lives, it's extraordinary in comparison with the world. Now, let's go over to Ephesians 3:20, and we'll read this from the Amplified. Read this on Sunday. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above," there we go, "far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Now, I wish it just said, "He will just do super abundantly for us." I would just love it if it was just that. And that you were just a believer, you got saved, and you just live your life in everyday superabundance. But we have to read the scripture. That's not what it says. It says that He is promising us abundance. He is promising us extraordinary. He is promising us over and above, but we play a part in that. We have to ask it. We have to think it. We have to dream it. We have to hope it. Remember Sunday's message? Remember the thermostat? We set the thermostat. He doesn't do that. He is a gentleman. And so that's where faith comes into play. And that's where believing comes into play. That's where our confession comes into play. But we have to meditate, we have to think. And again, we think on good things, we think on the Word, we meditate on the Word, we confess the Word. But it's still us that we have to ask, we have to think these things in order for that superabundance to be manifested in our lives. Does that make sense? But the big question I have tonight, and I'm gonna challenge you tonight. I know it's New Year's Eve, and I mean, for some, it's been a long year. You're just ready for 2014, and maybe you just had a crazy day. Anybody have a crazy day today? And you're like, man, just get me back to the food, and hopefully they got some. Hope the drinks back there are spiked. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to challenge you tonight, and you may not pay attention, that's fine, but I have a sense that this is going to be an extraordinary year. And I've been feeling that, and it's been rolling around on the inside. Who else has been feeling that, sensing that? And not just because it's a new year, and we're going to have some kind of a theme, and, you know, have something to focus on, maybe make a banner. I mean, spiritually, I've been praying. I've been seeking God. I've been seeking Him. And in my spirit, I sense some big things coming our way. But we have a part to play in that. And just because I feel that or sense that or someone tells me that, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't even... If I stand up here and prophesy, thus says the Lord. Or even if I read it off the page in the Bible. I mean, it's God's Word. It doesn't mean it will come to pass. God wants it to come to pass. All indicators are there for an extraordinary year. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And that's why Ephesians 3:20, which is, I mean, I love that verse, but we have a part to play. We're working with God. We're co-laborers with Him, joint heirs with Jesus. And so we have a part to play. And so I'm just going to come and challenge you to think a little bit higher here and think a little bit bigger here and get beyond your life and just your needs and think a little bigger here. Because there's some keys found in the Word for the extraordinary. But it may not be in the form that we want to hear it. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to read from the Amplified. Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36, Amplified. It says this, "When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they were bewildered, harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless." Now let me ask you a question. If you look out in the city of Augusta or Evans or Aiken or North Augusta, I mean, is this what you see? I was in Kmart shopping and I just was so depressed by this, I had to leave. I mean, it's like my eyes were opened. And I guess I was looking, maybe I was sensitive, and I was just looking at people. And that's what I saw. Bewilderment, harassment, people distressed and dejected and helpless. And I mean, if you anywhere you go, I mean, you probably work with people like that. Go to school with people like that. I hope that's not who you live with. But if some people that's the case, that's who they live with. And so Jesus looked out and saw that. And so it wasn't enough just to see that. He responded to that. He responded to what he saw. Like sheep without a shepherd. And I see that. Sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, I mean, there's a whole lot of things we think that he could have said here. I mean, we need to pray that God provides finances. We need to pray for new cars. If they only had new cars, everybody had new cars. If they only had a better house to live in, better clothes. I mean, it's Christmas time. You know, if only, you know, God would just supernaturally. And I love all that when God provides and does things. And a lot of neat things happen at Christmas. But that's not what He asked for. He wasn't praying about what we think people need. They need money, right? They need cars. They need clothing. And I'm not saying they don't need all those things. And I'm not saying God won't provide those things. But I think sometimes when we're thinking about Ephesians 3:20, we may be thinking, when we think of superabundance, that's immediately that we go to. And again, I don't have a problem with that. But we're going to have to, if we want what God wants, if we want to have the extraordinary, the biblical extraordinary, we're going to have to get beyond just the surface and get a little deeper here. I want you to have the new car. I want you to have a better house. I want you to have a better job. I'm speaking those things over you. But I'm just saying tonight, I know it's this hard because, I mean, we're gathered with people with a lot of needs here tonight. I know many of you, I know a lot of your needs. Serious situations a lot of us are facing. But I don't want to just give you just something, just to, you know, a little nugget here. It's New Year's Eve. We're going into 2014, going into an extraordinary year. I want to give you a little something, a little more of substance here. So Jesus looks out and he sees people bewildered and harassed, sheep without a shepherd, but he doesn't pray about their material needs. He doesn't pray about and speak a lot of the things that we think that he should for someone that sees that. He says, the harvest, that he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust out laborers into his harvest. See, that is a higher prayer. That is a more unselfish prayer. That is a more of a prayer hooking up to God's heart, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he's wanting in this earth, with these 7 billion people. Of all the things that God's wanting, number one on his list, he's wanting more laborers. Because that's the answer to the bewilderment and the harassment and the sheep without the shepherd and all the other parts. That's the answer. And when you're walking around, you know, Kmart or walking around the city, that's the answer for Kmart. That's the answer for North Augusta. That's the answer for Augusta. It's not a lot of the things we think it is. It's that we have more laborers. That's God's heart. Because if we have more laborers, more people are going to be reached with the gospel. More needs are going to be met. And then those other things will come, will happen. But there's God, that person's heart's got to be changed. Because if you give them something and their heart's not changed, it's not going to do them any good. And for some people, it's going to hurt them. Bible says prosperity ruins the fool. If you're a fool and I give you something, it's not going to help you. I've learned that lesson. And so this prayer right here is a higher prayer. And I'm suggesting in 2014, for all of us, we've got to start praying some bigger prayers or more purpose prayers according to the Word. And I'm not saying don't ask for other things, because it says, you know, you ask not and you have not. So I'm not saying, but I'm saying then, why don't us take a percentage of our time, of our prayer time. I hope you're praying. But let's start taking a percentage of our prayer time and start asking for some bigger things and start working with God and working with the heart of God of what He actually wants to accomplish in this area. Because we're His body in this area. He can't do anything in this area without His body working with Him. If He could do it, He would have done it already. We've got an important part to play. We can wait on God, but maybe God's waiting on us. Because He wants to do all these things. And so there's not a problem on the sinner's end. The sinners are sinning. They're doing what they know to do. And there's certainly not a problem on God's end. Is there? I mean, is the problem, is it God? Is it the problem, is it the sinners? So we've got a believer shortage, and I can tell you, you can look around, and I don't care what size church it is or where. I mean, we have all these ideas of what we think church is. But how many of the churches in this area, of the over the 1,000 churches, give a flip about Matthew 9? How many churches in Augusta tonight are talking about Matthew 9 or even care about Matthew 9? What we care about is our buildings, our reputation, our money, whatever, all these other things. But what about what God wants? And you're going, oh my God, what am I doing here on New Year's Eve? But you chose to come and you're here. But see, this prayer brought results. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Verse 1 of chapter 10. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. He sent them out. And not only now, you have Jesus doing the works, you have his disciples. You have the 12, you have the 70. Now you've got 82, 83 people, at least, doing the works of Christ. Do you see how much more effective that's going to be? How much more effective it's going to be? I mean, I don't know how many people are here. Let's just say 75, maybe. I mean, doesn't it just make sense if we've got 75 of us that are empowered and know what they're doing and going out into their world, we're going to impact and reach a lot more people? We've all got a part to play in this. And, you know, our mission here is empowering people to give life. And so in order to give life, you have to have life. But we've got to start thinking bigger. We have to start working with God. We have to start partnering with Him. And in our prayer time, we're going to start, you know, asking Him, what do we need to be praying about here? We've got an hour of prayer time or whatever it is. What do you want us to pray about? What are the needs of the area? What do we... And you start praying this way, it's going to start getting some of that selfishness out of Christianity. Selfish, because even in Christianity, there's a whole lot of selfishness. It's all about me. What am I going to get out of this? As long as I can get something from this church, I'll go to this church. But if I'm not getting something, then I'm going to go somewhere else to try to get it there. And if I don't get it there, then I'll go somewhere else. That sounds a little selfish. And we can be selfish in our prayers, selfish in the way we live our lives. And selfishness is the opposite of love. Okay. All right. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to see it really clear here. Really clear. Acts 4, verse 23. And you know the story here. Peter and John, they minister to the guy, raise him up, he's healed. They preach the gospel. I think it's 5,000 get saved. The religious leaders don't like it, and so they bring Peter and John before them, and they threaten them, and they don't throw them in prison, or they don't beat them because they're afraid of the people, because this guy has been lame for 40 years since his birth. It's a pretty notable miracle. So it's difficult at this point to punish him. They want to. They want to kill him. They don't like it. So they just, as the Bible says, they severely threaten them. Now, I love, and this is a higher level of spirituality, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're there at this place right now to be able to do what they did. But see, this is what I'm talking about. I'm thinking about thinking higher, thinking bigger here. And look how they respond to persecution. Look at how they respond to adversity. Acts 4, verse 23, New King James. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Now, I mean, you could just do a whole message on this. Our companions. Who are our companions? Talked about crazy faith friends on Sunday. You got to have some companions. A church is needed more than ever. Church is essential to a healthy Christian life. And people that are in church, where they're getting something from God, are going to be much more healthy than the believers that are outside the church, just trying to grow that way. I'm not saying they won't grow, but God's system of health and growth is in community. And He's the one that set up the church. And we need each other. We need a church. So they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, look at how they responded. They raised their voice to God. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They didn't gripe. They didn't say, woe is me. They even asked him to pray for them. Well, and I'm not opposed. I mean, I pray for people all the time. But I'm just looking at this response that they had here. They raised their voice in community together to God and with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand, whatever your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Look on their persecution. Look on the adversity. Look on the problems. Anybody here got problems? Anybody here got some adversity? Got something going that's not going the right way for you? You got some strife in your home? Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, look at their hearts. Look at the level of their maturity. Look at, you know, what they're thinking about. They've just, you know, gone through something, a trial, and look at what they're focused on. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's just a higher prayer. That's just a bigger thing to ask for. Am I saying this is easy? No, I'm not, because again, like I said, you've got real needs. You've got real problems. You may be going through one of the biggest trials you've ever dealt with. It's hard. I've been through trials. I've been through every kind of trial you can imagine. It's not easy. It's hard. You know, like I've said before, at the end of last year, came through one of the biggest trials I've faced in ministry. You know, I know what I'm talking about here. It's not. There's days. I mean, you can barely lift your hands to praise God. You can barely smile. Barely get up out of bed. So, you know, how can I preach this when you're dealing with that? Well, I'm just saying this is a higher way, and if we're going to have an extraordinary year, we're going to have to do some things differently. And we're going to have to look at things differently. And I know it's uncomfortable, and I know it's hard, and it's not going to be easy to do it. But look at the payoff. How many people like the payoff? Let's look at the payoff. Pretty quiet out there. You just ready to go eat some wings? See, the results of these prayers was the extraordinary. The results of the prayers, when they came together, and when they prayed, it was extraordinary. Let's look at verse 31. And I'm going to list them out, all of the extraordinary things that just happened, but just look at these verses here. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, Now, they prayed superabundant, you know, they prayed big prayers. They were working with God, partnering with God. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's a miracle. Neither did anyone say they had any things he possessed was his own. That's a miracle. But they had all things in common. That's a miracle. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, how many people here tonight want these things? A couple hands? Oh, brother. I want those things. I want the book of Acts. I want Azusa Street. I want other great revivals and things. Is that just going to be for other people? And we're just going to be normal? We're just going to be normal? Is that what we're made for? Is that what we're created for tonight? Here in this place? Normal? Get by? Just make it? Let's make it till Jesus comes? Is that who we are? Or is this who we are? Are we an Acts church? Book of Acts. Acts of the people at Good News Church or whatever church. Is that who we are? Well, in order we can talk about these things, but it's interesting that there was prayer, big prayers being prayed before these things manifested. Read about the day of Pentecost. They gathered together with their companions and followed the direction of the Lord, and they waited together. Did they just kind of play video games? Watch some TV? A couple good movies? Had some popcorn, grilled some burgers out back. I'm not saying they didn't do ordinary things and socialized and had fun, but I mean, they were waiting for a purpose. They were praying. They were expecting what Jesus said, and they were working with God. See, we don't realize the authority we have. Remember back with Abraham? And God's looking at Sodom and Gomorrah and getting ready to take it out. And he consults his man, Abraham, his man to faith. And Abraham, I mean, he knows how to make deals. He gets them from 50 down to 5. And Abraham's got everything working because he's got Lot and his family, and he's thinking, surely we've got 5. It's not going to be destroyed. I mean, he could have went down to 1. I mean, I don't even know if it would have been saved at 1. So how much authority did Abraham have that God, and this isn't even a spirit-filled man, under the new covenant? We don't realize the authority we have. And God's looking for people that will work with Him. I'm not saying we're the only church. I don't want to be the only church. I hope they're all. I want everybody in there on this. But I don't think that's the case, based on the preaching I'm hearing and some of the things I hear people saying. But we want to be one of those churches and those people that walk in our authority, that God can look to and work through. So there was a lot of different things that were said here, and I found 9. And so I'm going to go through my nine, and you maybe you have others that you know. And do you have to latch hold of all nine for 2014? You can. But maybe, you know, two or three of them will jump out at you. Latch hold of those. Remember, we talked about our faith, latching hold of hope, how they're partners. Pick out some of these. And if you're up to all nine, go for it. Go for it. If you find 10, 11, if you find 20, go for that. Go for wherever you're at. But I double dog dare you. I challenge you to start thinking bigger and believing for bigger. And, you know, you're looking at the guy for the first person I think I prayed for died. You know, and how encouraging is that? I mean, you pray for somebody and they die. It's like, oh my God, you know, I might as well just call it. I mean, I've, you know, and I'm supposed to be called to ministry. But see, I didn't give up. And you may pray some of these prayers at first, and you may have a trial facing you. You may be tested. But we're not those people that are going to draw back. We're not the ones that are going to quit, right? We got each other. We encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. All right, here's nine things that I see in these verses based on things that people prayed. And so I want you to think these things, meditate on these things, and I want you to hope these things and dream these things. And then I want you to speak these things. And then I want you to pray about these things. And I like what it says over in Romans, because the things that I'm talking about, it might be calling those things that are not as though they were. Those things that don't exist. But the thing for us that I really realized as I was looking at some of these things tonight, our normal, you can just stay normal, but your normal is still above the world's extraordinary. You're already living a supernatural life. You may not realize, and all may seem normal to you. But let's go ahead and every year, let's just, you know, get to some of these things here, and so they become normal, and then we'll have to get some new extraordinary things. All right, the first one, there was an extraordinary demonstration of God's power. That building that they were at shook. Now, I don't even know if we're ready for that, but I mean, we've heard of things, you know, fire on top of buildings, Zuzu Street, other things, all kind of just different demonstrations, unusual manifestations. What about this year? I mean, who wants to be at seriously now, do you want to be in a building that's shaking because of prayer, not because of an earthquake? Wouldn't it be kind of cool? We're just here one night and the fire department shows up and they see flames coming out of the building, but they're not natural flames. That'd be kind of cool. That'd be a sign and a wonder. Extraordinary demonstrations of God's power. Second one, extraordinary meetings. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be cool if everybody was saved, if everybody was filled, and there's accounts in the Bible that says they were all healed. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a great service. Everybody comes up and testifies. But do we believe it? Is it possible? Yeah, we got precedence for it. It's over and over. It says they were all filled. I can give you, I don't know how many different scriptures that says they were all healed. Extraordinary meeting. Who wants some extraordinary meetings? Or do you want some dull, lifeless, depressing kind of meetings? We've been having some good services, but I don't think we've seen anything yet. We've had some good services over the last 18 years. Great services. But I don't think we've gotten anywhere near where God wants us to go. Extraordinary meetings. Next one, extraordinary boldness. Now, many of you here, you're already operating on a normal boldness. You were maybe timid, and now you've come up. You're actually bold, and you don't even realize it. But extraordinary boldness. We're going to step out and do some things in 2014 that we haven't done before. Not be afraid, not be timid. Step out and do some things. And it's going to be led by the Holy Ghost, led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I want that. I want the same old thing. Do the same old, preach the same old way, minister the same old way, pray for people the same old way. I want extraordinary. Next one is they had extraordinary unity. And this is really good for the leaders of Good News Church because I saw as I was looking at this, this extraordinary unity is not a formula. It's not a formula. It's not, well, we have to have so many picnics and so many small groups and we have to have the right greeters and we have to do, and I'm for all those things, do all those things. But there's a unity that comes from the Holy Spirit. He's got a unity for this body that extraordinary. I want that. The next one is, y'all seem pretty excited tonight. Are y'all doing okay? Talking about the extraordinary. That's okay. I understand. I've been there. I've been in your seats. Extraordinary care for each other. Had all things in common. Extraordinary care. And as a pastor, man, this is something I really want to see. Where it's not, you know, we have this, and I want to have, you know, outstanding pastoral care and hospital visit, do all those things. But just where the body takes care of each other. I love that. Where it's just like God orchestrates. We do our part, but it's like God's got, and that way, no one's left out. Orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. I love that. That says that talking about the apostles' ministry, extraordinary ministry, extraordinary preaching, extraordinary prayer, extraordinary teaching, extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. Extraordinary ministry. I like this next one. Extraordinary grace. It says they had great grace. What's that word great? That word great is mega. It's the same thing that's used for the hurricane force winds that the disciples dealt with. I want to see mega grace here. We've got grace operating. One of our values is open arms and acceptance. And we get a lot of good feedback about that. But I believe there's more. More of God's love. More of, God's grace and demonstration. More open arms. Just supernatural. People are drawn here. People, when they come in here, they just feel His love and His... And it's not in here. I mean, wherever we go. And then this is probably the one you've been waiting for. Extraordinary provision. It says that not one of them lacked. No one lacked. There was extraordinary provision. And I have already been seeing that, and I've been seeing for 2014, I see debts being paid. I see debts being paid off. I mean, debt has been holding us back. It's been holding us back. It's holding this church back, holding you back. And I just see, I believe there's natural things we'll be doing. God will give us a plan. But I see some supernatural things happening. So that means there will be some increase. I like that. But see, we'll have all the other things right. And so when the increase comes, we won't ruin us. But, you could put this last one before this. The eighth one there, extraordinary provision, extraordinary generosity. they went and sold lands and brought not just a part, but brought the whole proceeds. I mean, that'd be kind of a cool service. Had extra 10 acres and 50 acres over here. And I'm not saying to do that. I'm not saying that. But I mean, that would be a pretty exciting service. And all of a sudden, I mean, I look at the, you know, sheet and it said the normal amount. I mean, let's just say it's 10 times that. Extraordinary generosity. And that will be amazing because our normal generosity is extraordinary here at Good News Church. I'm telling you, we have very generous people. We don't have one or two families bankrolling everything here. We don't. We have a lot of people doing what they can do, tithing and bringing their offerings as they're led by the Holy Spirit, and very generous people here. And so to see extraordinary generosity here, I mean, I may be just laid out up here. Because if that happens here, I mean, it will knock me over. Because it's already amazing. So I laid it out, guys. I'm not saying it's easy. And if we come together on this, I mean, there may be some attacks. We've already had some attacks. But we're still here. We're still smiling. Go ahead and smile at your neighbor. You still, you know, you still can, even if it's a fake smile, you can still do it. But he's got the extraordinary for us. And again, maybe a couple of those things jumped out. Maybe all of them. I don't know. But I've always been the kind of person, I mean, I want it. I desire it. And so I've been doing good with these prayers. I mean, for 4 years, I've been praying about the laborers. But I'm going to step it up even more. And spend some time praying in the Spirit. And, you know, and I love the Thursday night prayers. I'm so glad we started that. I mean, we had had prayer time and we were doing it at noon, I think, on Tuesday or something like that. And it's the kind of thing where it starts off with a lot of people. Then it dwindled down to, like, I was the only one, or Susie was the only one, or Nate. And so we just stopped it. But we've been doing the Thursday night prayer. And so far, we're not down to one yet. But anyway, it's been some good prayer time. And I believe maybe this message came out of that prayer time. Because I have definitely sensed in the... I mean, some of the words, I mean, you can just look at when you're praying and you're praying with the Holy Spirit, certain words will start to become common. You'll start saying these phrases and these words, and there's like something on them. You know what I'm talking about? And one of the words that I've been saying is, and I believe by the Holy Ghost, great harvest. Great harvest. And when I say that, that might mean something to you, but to me, it means harvest of souls. A great harvest, and then also disciples being raised up. That's on my heart. Followers of Jesus. Another thing I've been praying and been saying, unusual miracles. King James says special miracles. New King James says unusual miracles worked by the hands of Paul. Now, a miracle is good. What's an unusual miracle? What's a special miracle? I love miracles, but I've been praying about unusual miracles. And I've been praying about the laborers, continuing to pray about the laborers for 4 years, over 4 years now, been praying about the laborers. And it's really helped me with a lot of things I've been dealing with. To get my mind on that as opposed to what I was dealing with. So it may not have been what you expected tonight, but he's got some amazing things for us in 2014. extraordinary. Everybody say extraordinary.
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 Extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
However you want. Over and above. Superabundance. Need to add some of these words to our vocabulary. Pray in the Spirit. Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. What kind of revelation did he have? He's the one who talked about unusual miracles. God wants to work in us. I was reading this, and it's a whole other message. But as I was studying this, this message took about 20 minutes. Really put a lot of time in this message, 20 minutes. He just dropped it in my heart. And as I was looking at verse 19 of Ephesians 3, it talked about fullness, filled with the fullness of God. And it says that that word fullness means completeness. It means like the ships that are carrying cargo being full of cargo. Being filled with God. Wow. Is that what you want? We're to be praying that for each other. Nate, that you'd be filled with God. That you'd have a revelation of His love and the depth and the width and the height. See, I mean, that's an unselfish prayer. Prayer for you. Ephesians talks about the hope of your calling. Praying for each other about their purpose of their life and why they're here. Praying about the riches of the inheritance that we have in Christ. Colossians talks about a walk fully pleasing to Him. I'm telling you, it's not easy when you're going through it to pray those prayers. I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, you couldn't pray Him. Because you're just so, my needs, it's just like, but if you know, and that's why you understand in the garden, and then Jesus is praying and He's about to go to the cross. I mean, what is that like? And what is He doing? He's praying. Praying about going to the cross. And it's just so much pressure. It says He's sweating blood. I don't know if you could study that out, the science behind that, but I mean, I'm sure that's a lot of anguish, anxiety, and stress. So, I mean, it's just physically affecting Him, just the weight of the whole thing He's about to do. He knows it. He sees it. And then He's praying, but He gets over into... I mean, isn't that amazing? He doesn't pray about... For a moment, He prays about Himself, you know, take this cup. But then He gets over into the unselfish prayer, not my will be done, but your will be done. Even at that moment, He's thinking about God and God's plan and about people rather than Himself. Wow. He's on the cross and He says, Father, forgive them. He's on the cross and He's witnessing. But he's under so much pressure and stress, and then he prays, not my will be done, but your will be done. And then what does it say? The angels came and strengthened him. You start getting into those kind of prayers. The angel comes and strengthens you. And you're going to the throne of grace, and the grace comes upon you. Great harvest, 2014. Great harvest. Unusual miracles. Extraordinary things. Super abundantly more than we dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray. You may have to get the podcast or the CD and go back and listen to the... Because it may hit you later. Midnight. Woo! You know... Who wants to take it?
Okay, I have two things. And I don't want to forget the second thing. So Taryn, you want to help me? The second thing, remember this word, encouragement. Can you remember that? Because if I start to forget it, you tell me that, that'll remind me. Okay, here's the first thing. Over in Matthew 9, where he was reading, and it talks about he looked out and he saw all the sheep, and they were all scattered. He saw the people, they were, and they looked like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. And I was reminded about that word shepherd, and I saw something I hadn't seen quite like this. But that word shepherd, and during World War II, when the flyers would go up and they would go out and, you know, they were doing the airstrikes or their other missions that they were flying, and sometimes they would be either in a dogfight, they would be, I keep wanting to say injured, but airplanes aren't injured. What's the word that happens to an airplane? Damaged. Yeah, they wouldn't be shut down, but they'd be damaged. People get injured. Airplanes get damaged, okay? They'd get damaged, but they were still flyable. But they would lose maybe an engine, or they would lose some of their instruments, or they were in a place they were very vulnerable. They were damaged. And they would have another plane would fly up beside them, or would see that they were damaged, and they would fly along with them and bring them safely home. And the plane that would come up, the plane that was not damaged, that would come up and fly along with that plane, was called a shepherd. And that plane would shepherd the damaged plane to safety. And when he was talking about that, the shepherds, he looked out and he saw people, and they were weary and they were distressed, and all the things that the world is filled with now, filled with people who are distressed. And they're scattered, and they need a shepherd. And I know I've heard a lot of messages on these scriptures. Some of them say, well, we need more churches. And then, you know, because these people need shepherds, we need more pastors. And then Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers out. And many times I've been in places, and in fact, we were in Australia, and Matt read that verse, and he said, and who are the laborers? And one of the associate pastors in the church just yelled out, oh, that's the preachers, that's the fivefold, which was not the right answer. And it was really a funny moment. Because the laborers, Jesus never said the laborers are the fivefold, you know. And it doesn't even make sense. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have jobs and you go to work on your jobs? Let me ask you this. When you go to work on your job, what part of your body does the job? I mean, isn't it just like one part? No, for you to go to work and do your job, doesn't matter what your job is, you need your lungs to do your job, and you need your ears, and you need your fingers, and you need your blood cells, and you need your immune system, and you need your skin to hold it all in. And you need think what you need to do your job. Well, in that same way, to do the job that's been assigned to the body of Christ, it requires everything. It's not just one little part, the pastors. And you read that, all of us are shepherds. You are a shepherd. And if you're looking for something to set your sights on for 2014, maybe one thing you can set your sights on is actually being a laborer, being a shepherd. And maybe God has people for you to fly along next to and shepherd them safely home. Maybe there's people that he's going to bring into your life. Maybe there's people all over your life. Yeah, there actually are. You've just maybe been ignoring them, or you're just trying to have worse problems than them. Don't you love it when you get together and know my problems are much worse than yours? You ever been there? I can tell you this. I have shepherded many people when I did have much worse problems than they did, but it didn't matter. Because I knew how to fly, even damaged, I knew how to fly, because it wasn't just me. I am complete in him. Even on my most damaged day, I can soar. I can soar. And the same, that's the thing with you. It's not, oh, I'm damaged and God can't use me. I'm going to tell you, on your worst day, you can soar because you are complete in him. That is what the message of grace is. That he makes you able. So I see in the new year, you're going to be shepherding some people to safety. A whole lot of people. You're going to actually step into a new place of being a laborer. It's going to be supernatural. Now, what was it I was going to say? encouragement. That's right. Here's a whole other thing. The day before Christmas, I get a, 2 days before Christmas, I get an email from my friends down under, Jim and Jan Newton, and they wanted to Skype with us, and I'm like, what do you want to Skype with us? I didn't know what's up, what's going on, what's going to be happening. And, you know, I thought there was some news, and so I was a little kind of curious, what's up? And so we arranged, so we Skype the Monday night before Christmas. And it's Christmas Eve where they are because they're 16 hours ahead. So they had Christmas Eve and their family's coming in and they're Skyping with us. I'm like, what is up? What's the news? Well, they didn't really, I kept waiting for them to get to the punchline and they never really got to the punchline until Jim told us this story. And for some reason, I guess he just had it on his heart to call and tell us this story. And here was his story. When Jim was 33 years old, he's 64 now. When he was 33 years old, he was Baptist, and he was a good Baptist. He told us this story. He was a good Baptist. Do y'all know what being a good Baptist means? God bless good Baptists, because if you're a good Baptist, you should know how to get people saved. But in his case, being a good Baptist meant he was against a whole lot of stuff. And one of the things that he was against was anybody that would, lay hands on the sick or believed at all in healing the sick. He was against that. He thought that that was like passed away and you shouldn't be messing with that and doing that. So he would reprimand people. And if anybody ever talked about things about the Holy Spirit or against the Holy Spirit, that'd make him, he'd get really riled up about that and argue with people. Well, one day he got together with a friend of his. His friend was also a Baptist, but his friend was a lot more open to things than Jim was. And so they started down the road of having this big argument over things that they knew that they disagreed about. Things of the Spirit, things that, a lot of things like that. And so they're going down the road about that, and somewhere down the road of starting to argue with that, Jim and him realized, no, our friendship's more important than what we're about to argue about, and we'll just set that aside. And so they set that stuff aside, and they just continued to talk. But Jim couldn't let it go. Jim looked at him and said, well, I don't believe in any of that, and I'm never going to believe any of that. And so they smiled and went on with their conversation, shook hands, and left. Jim went home. The next morning, Jim woke up and he said to Jan, Jan, I believe in all that. I believe that. And she said, while we were coming, she said, that really scared me when he said that. It scared me. What in the world? Because he went to bed one way and he woke up a totally different way. And now he was like, and she said he just got the Bible and started reading through the Bible and he started seeing all these things. It was like the Bible was a whole new book. And he could not believe it because the day before he was so convinced of one thing and now he was convinced of the exact opposite. He was embracing everything he was just against the day before. And it all happened he just woke up a different man. And she said it took her a long time to, like, get comfortable because it was really freaking her out. Any of y'all ever been freaked out by stuff like that? Yeah. Some of you are still a little freaked out, but that's okay. And so this is the story he's telling me a couple of days before Christmas, and he's talking about it, and I'm like, why are you telling us this? You know, this is what I'm thinking in my mind. It's the day before Christmas. I got plenty to do. Your family's coming in. Why are you telling me this story? I don't know. And he gets to the end, and suddenly we just all knew why he called us and why we were telling this. It's this, that God is supernaturally changing people and transforming people. And Jim said the one thing he knew is he didn't give up on anybody for any reason because God so changed him so quickly. He'd lived through it and experienced it. And there's people that God just is going to change them. He's changing people. That's what God does best is change people from the inside out. He changes people. And so I'm saying that to encourage us as we go into the new year, because Sunday morning I found out a lot of people were discouraged. Matt said after the service he had so many people come up to him and say, that was for me. Or people that just, basically, as the Bible said, fell on his neck and wouldn't let go of him because they'd been so discouraged. And that message on Sunday about hope just kind of rose up in them and helped them beyond discouragement. But maybe you might still be in discouragement. And maybe you're discouraged about people in your life. I'm telling you, God is a supernatural God, and He changes people's hearts. We heard Sunday before last from Fabiola about how God changed her heart in a moment. Just during a simple prayer. We started the prayer. We said, Heavenly Father, and she was hot and mad and offended. And by the time we got to the end of the prayer, she decided to forgive her mother-in-law. That was God changing a heart. And just a few hours later, she and her daughter led her in-laws to the Lord. That's supernatural. It's also shepherding. Supernatural. And I'm just telling all of us tonight, supernatural things. Don't discount God and don't rule out what God can do because they're supernatural things. Isn't there? Do y'all serve a supernatural God? Does he still do supernatural things? Can he change people and change you? Can he change you? Fabiola, did he just change you there in that moment? I know it was a change because I talked to Fabiola before her in-laws came. She wasn't going to try to get them saved. Not in the conversation I had with her. And if she was talking like that to the pastor, you know what she's really thinking. But God will change people and us. So let's not sit here tonight and say, well, it is what it is. Let's say, what can it be? It can be super abundantly. Oh, well, it is what it is. What can it be? There's God. God can change you and me and them. He can turn you into a shepherd. You just pray some prayers about laborers, and next thing you know, you'll be one. That's what y'all that were here for our anniversary service in November, you heard Kimberly McDonald's story about her friend from high school. Do y'all remember this? If you haven't seen it, if you didn't hear it, go on the website and watch it. It's a remarkable story of her reaching out to a girl she went to high school with, ended up leading her to the Lord. While she's talking to her, her friend was going through the first steps of divorce from somebody that she told Kim, there's absolutely no way. This is done. And there was a whole history of why it should be done. And based on the history, she was right. It should be done. But over the phone, Kim led the girl's estranged husband to the Lord, and they go to the website and watch the video. I can't even tell you the story, as great as it is. It's awesome. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all were here and heard it. Y'all remember? It was awesome. Kimberly told me when she first told me the testimony that happened because she's been praying every day for laborers. Last summer, Matt told us, remember it, the first of the summer, Matt said to us, this week, every day we're going to pray for the laborers. You remember that? And she said she did that and she just never quit. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in these middle of these situations. She prayed herself into being a laborer.